Good morning, welcome to our service today. It was about Friday this week and I realized I was in way over my head. Guys, you've been there already, in over your head. And the reason I understood that I was in over my head, I'm about to enter the wonderful complex world of a woman this morning. I don't have 4 years of seminary to figure out women. I'm not a woman, so I don't know if I'm qualified to preach this message this morning. But I do know one thing. There's a woman had a profound impact on my life. And there's other women, my daughters, my wife, that have had a very profound impact on me as well. So what I'm about to share to you is my experience. Your experience may be different. But I do attempt to go into this. I'm definitely sweating up here this morning because if I say something wrong, I'll hear about it. But I think God has a wonderful message to the mothers here this morning. And I just want to say thank you to each mom here this morning for what you do on a daily basis to make us better people. So thank you for that. My message this morning is on the heart of a mother. The heart of a mother is in every little child, every little girl in this church. Did you ever see it? Watch them as they play. They got their little dolls. What do? They make sure their little playhouse is all neat and proper. They have the best clothes in their little play closet. They talk to them. Girls, when you play with dolls, you like to be the mom, right? You like to be the mom? You'd like talk to them and feed them and all kinds of stuff. It's the heart of a mother. This morning I want to describe what that heart is. That heart beats in every woman, whether or not they have given a birth to a son or a daughter. I want to make that very clear. A little girl is not really a mother at this point, but they do have the heart of a mother. This heart is a gift of God who knows children need a large dose of love and nurture. A mother's heart rarely misses the chance to wipe a tear, to put a band-aid on a knee, to pray a blessing on a child, to give encouragement to a discouraged heart, to teach when instruction is necessary, to hug a huge problem, just simply hug it and make it vanish, or to kiss away the worst of despair. With this incredible power comes equally powerful emotions like fear and worry and anxiety and guilt. It's something that women deal with because they want what's best for the child. That's the heart of a mother, right? Because every one of you moms wants what's best for your child. When they're responsive to you, when your children are responsive to you, everything's good. It brings a lot of joy, happiness, peace, and harmony. What happens when things don't go quite like you have planned? When they're not responsive to us or to the Lord, it brings turmoil and anxiety because women are wired to want, again, what's best for each of their children. I know that this heart of a mother is not just for mothers that have children. Because I've seen it in school teachers, some single school teachers. Actually, I'm thinking of the one teacher in our school. She actually is married now. It's her first year being married. But I know her as Renee Bender. She's now Mrs. Oliver. She is a teacher that has the heart of a mother. Because she wants to see that child succeed so badly that she will spend hours praying specifically for that child. She wants to see that child succeed so much that she spends hours in preparation trying to creatively think how to reach that person's heart. Recently, when we were in Grenada, I met another single lady who's given her entire life to being a missionary and has the heart of a mother. Rachel Brown is her name. And her love for the students there in Grenada, all 52 of them, is incredible. She has the heart of a mother. She wants to succeed them even beyond her own goals and ambitions in life. You know, the question every little girl has is this: am I lovely? Am I a beautiful person? Very few women will ever offer beauty if it is not well received. Just like men, sort of opposite. But you will rarely do something if you know you're going to fail. Right? So this is where my inexperience comes in, because I can only speak as a man. Hopefully I'm getting the parallel correct. As a man, I tend to back away from things that I'm going to fail in. As a woman, I think you tend to not open up your heart if you know it's not going to be received well. Hopefully that makes sense to the guys and girls in the room here. A woman's beauty is captivating and it's alluring. For a woman to unveil her beauty means she is offering her heart, not primarily her works or her usefulness, but she's actually giving herself. What I mean by this, Mary and Martha is a great illustration of this. Martha was busy about getting everything ready, had everything nice and all laid out. Mary was the one communing with Jesus and giving of herself for Jesus. Not that Martha wasn't trying, but she was reserving some of her beauty into the busyness of what she was doing. You know, guys, I think we fail in this area a lot. We only see our wife and appreciate her for her usefulness, the things that she does for us. But a real woman's beauty is when she is present, when she is engaging. That gift of somebody's presence, and how do I put this in terms that we understand? Married couples know this, that when two people are totally comfortable with each other and can speak with each other and communicate on an emotional level, there's no greater thing than that. And there's nothing greater for a man than to hear my wife being really excited about where I am or what I'm doing. That's an awesome gift. The gift of being present, it's rare and it's beautiful. I'm actually one of the lucky ones because I had a mom that was present. Now, guys, if you only knew what my mom had to deal with growing up, you would have a new appreciation for my mother. 5 boys, 1 girl. The girl just hung on by a thread. I don't know how she did it, but it was a male-dominated house. From everything from playing hockey downstairs on just hours on end, separating arguments that turned into fights. She was always there. Mealtimes, again, male-dominated. I mean, she actually had to learn what the Philly scores were so she could actually have a conversation with us. Shouldn't tell you this, but she still listened to the Phillies. But she was present. She understood what it meant to give of her beauty. so that we were drawn to her. That beauty that she gave when I was a young boy, she was a beautiful person then, but if you look at her now, she's even more beautiful. And I'll tell you why. Because I think it was yesterday, there's four potted plants showed up on her house from her sons. Okay? Fifth one didn't quite get down from New York yet, but I'm sure it's coming. They all still respect her. They admire her beauty. They've been drawn to her beauty that she's given out liberally. So, you know, beauty, it doesn't diminish over time. It never does. Beauty doesn't diminish over time. And you're always thinking, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, I do, actually. My mom is more beautiful to me now than when I was 20. Just like people in the Bible wanted to be around Jesus because of that beauty he had to offer, women have that same alluring, captivating personality. It's the type of person that offers an invitation. The person that really wants to know who we are, what battles we've been facing, what God is doing in our lives. She draws you out with laughter or a wry joke. Sometimes it's through tears and mercy. She gives something of God to those around her. This power of a mother's heart is huge. You want to know how I know that? What do we call, or what does the world call the forces of nature? Help me out. Mother Nature. That doesn't indicate a small thing, right? You see the tsunami or an earthquake or a tornado or something like that. You see real power. Or maybe some of you have had the mother of all headaches. It doesn't indicate a small headache. All right? If you think a woman is weak, you're wrong. Because my mother has given me more strength or shown more strength than I probably will ever have in my life. And I don't like to think of myself as a weak person. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. Oh boy, another cliche Mother's Day message. Proverbs 31. And no, I'm not selling handbags this morning. Proverbs 31. I'm going to start reading verse 20. And there's a bunch of verses that talk about a woman here, but to be honest with you, I don't want to make you feel bad because there's a lot packed into those first couple verses. But this is a woman. Verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I love this verse here. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but guys, you know your wife surpasses them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring praise at the city gate. This chapter, some people think it's unattainable. But you know, your mom was this person. It might have a different look than this passage. But your mom had a big influence on your life. So what makes a woman beautiful? I think it's simply found in Galatians 5:22 and 23, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Tell me, that's your mother, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control. That's who my mother was to me. Maybe that's not who your mother was to you. But that is the heart of a mother. That's what makes a woman beautiful. I want you to just take a little time right now, grab a scrap piece of paper out of your Bible, and I want you to write down two things that you would say made your mother beautiful. Two things that you would say made your mother beautiful. To me, that Galatians 5:22-23 passage, when you put it in perspective of a woman or a mother, it just epitomizes the beauty of a woman. A woman can be incredibly beautiful on the outside, but have no beauty at all. So you got those two things down? Now I got a little assignment for you to do. Not right now, but in the next 2 days I want you to go to your mother if she's still living and tell her why you think she's beautiful. Okay? Maybe it's this afternoon. If your mother has passed on, thank God for that beauty that was shown. I have three examples in the Bible here I want to share with you. And it's an example of three women. First one is actually a combination. It's Naomi and Ruth. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 to 21. Ruth chapter 1, verses 3 to 21. You know, I talked about those powerful emotions of fear and worry, anxiety, and guilt. I call them beauty robbers. For me, as a man, I have strength robbers. Things that rob me of my strength. Things like when I feel I don't do a good job of something, that's a strength robber. And I'm slow to enter that area of strength again for a long time. For a woman, they have beauty robbers. I guarantee you, Proverbs 31, you don't feel that way all the time because you're a victim to beauty robbers. Naomi and Ruth is an incredible story of beauty robbers. But yet, despite the beauty that was robbed, they were still able to come through with the help of each other. Let's just look at this story a little bit. And I'm just going to paraphrase it a little bit. Naomi was the mother-in-law of Ruth and Orpha. And they were in a foreign country, and I don't know what happened, but Naomi's husband and Ruth and Orpha's husband, all three died. That's a beauty robber. You don't have any beauty to give anymore, right? It's gone. Some of you have felt that. You don't have anything to give anymore because of the sorrow that's been put into your family. I want you to look at Ruth's response here. As Naomi gathered her two daughters-in-laws and said, "Look, I want you to go back to your families, but I'm going to go to my homeland." Said, I don't want you to come with me. I want you to find new beauty where you're at with your people. I'm going to go back. But Naomi and Ruth, Orpha and Ruth both wanted to stay with her. And they said, we want to go back with you. We want to support you. We want to nurture you. Do you see the heart of a mother in two women that weren't mothers? They wanted to bring beauty, bring life back to Naomi. Orpha, and I don't fault her for this at all, but she decided to go back to her people, the logical thing to do. Ruth, on the other hand, in verse 16 says this, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined about this, she said, "Okay, come along." I want you to give you a little idea of the grief that Naomi felt in verse 20. When she got back to her homeland, the people were surprised at how old she looked. She didn't look like Naomi anymore. And she says this, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara," which simply means bitterness. The beauty's gone. Did you ever see a bitter lady? Not much beauty coming out. You've seen it. There's no beauty coming out of a bitter woman. "Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full or beautiful, but the Lord brought me back empty or ugly. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned home to her family with this aura about her of just feeling bitter, ugly, worthless. Okay. As the story progresses, Ruth, do you think it was a little encouraging to Naomi for Ruth just to make this proclamation? "I'm going to be with you. I don't care what happens. I'm going with you." To me, that's the heart of a mother infusing life back into someone that's hurt. So there's three things in this story that I want to get out that are just incredible hearts of a mother. The one is nurture, okay? The other is encouragement, and the third is sympathy. Each one of you women have the incredible ability to sympathize with other people if you allow that beauty to flow out of you. Each one of you ladies have the incredible ability to encourage, and I know this because I watch my wife encourage our children. When things don't make any sense, when things are difficult, they go to mom. And a mom allows her beauty, the things that attract, the things that allure, allows her beauty to be seen by her children. It's incredible the difference a mom can make in a child's life. And I want to encourage you ladies with that. For Naomi, Ruth, by her encouragement, made a huge difference in Naomi, as we see later in the story. Naomi, because of Ruth, was able to get her life back. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, gave them both their life back. But it wasn't without that nurture and encouragement and sympathy that it was gotten back. Suppose Ruth would have never bought into Naomi's pain, even though she had incredible pain herself. Suppose that never happened. Where do you think Naomi would have ended up? Not sure. I'm not sure the answer to that question. But I do know the heart of the mother of Ruth was a very effective tool in bringing Naomi and getting her life back. The second woman I want to look at this morning is Hannah. And that story is just a few pages over in your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it's in 2 to 17. So beauty robber number one was sorrow. And I can understand that. Beauty robber number two is childless. And I know that a woman's beauty can be robbed from being childless. Not only childless, but maybe you have a teenager that thinks you have two heads, or you're weird, or you're not relevant anymore. And the things that you said them 1,000 times when they were 9 or 10, but now 4 years later, they're not making a bit of sense anymore to the little alien that is in your house. And that's hard. Because you've invested 14 years of your life already into that person. You still want what's best for them. You still pray for them. You encourage them. But yet now things don't make a hill of being a sense to that person anymore. And that's hard. Because remember what I said? A woman hesitates to share her beauty when it's not well received. So what happens? You start yelling at each other, right? And it creates a big wide rift between the teenager and the mother. The mother still has a mother's heart. She still wants what's best for her child, but she's fallen victim to a beauty robber. And I call that the childless beauty robber. And it can happen with children, trust me. There's many mothers that are childless, even though they have 20-year-old daughters or sons. You know, I was reading a book in preparation for this. It's called When Mothers Pray. I wish I'd have an hour to share the illustrations of how mothers have pleaded with God and released their children, and miracles have happened. It's incredible. So when you fall into, when you're besieged by this childless beauty robber, I want you to pray. Because ultimately God is the life giver and is able to give you your beauty back. You know, I don't want to call you childless when you have a toddler, but have you ever gotten to the point where you're like pulling your hair out because of the demands of a toddler? And you don't know which way to go. You haven't got sleep. You haven't got more than 5 hours of sleep for the last 2 weeks. And then when your toddler wakes up, you got to do all this stuff to make her be the person that you want her to be. And it's stressful. Or maybe it's that, it is a strange word to use, but incorrigible teenager. Or maybe you've had to pray for somebody in your family that's sick, and you've beseeched God day and night for that person's health. Or maybe you have a wayward child, somebody you put an incredible amount of effort into, and at the end it seems you got nothing. Hannah, in her story, finally got to the point where she said, God, this is yours. I am dedicating my son to you. I know it's painful for me to give up my child. But sometimes God calls us to release that problem, that demanding toddler, that incorrigible teenager, that sick person, that wayward child, and you need to give it to God, because God is the source of all beauty. I should have mentioned this earlier, but women, if you expect men to fulfill your need of the question, am I lovely, we mess up too much, okay? We mess up with that a lot. So don't expect us. I know I'm right on the edge here. Don't expect us to get your loveliness from us. Your beauty is already inside of you, and that comes from God. And when you can express your heart to the people in your circle, that's where true beauty is. I hope I'm not sounding too cheesy there. The effectual, fervent prayer. The Bible says a righteous man, but I'm going to go righteous woman here, is incredible. And in that book I read probably hundreds of stories of the power of prayer, even when it seemed impossible. But I know, again from experience, my mother spent hours praying for me, even when I did not have a great relationship with her. How do I know? As you know, my mother sews a lot. I'm not sure how you do two things at once, but she's often praying when she's sewing. Sometimes I'm scared I'll go up and she'll have all her fingers sewn together, but she prays a lot. She prays for people in this church. She prays for her family. She prays for her grandchildren. She's praying a lot. And her beauty still is coming out in what she does. And it has had a profound effect on my life. So I guess the antidote to this childless beauty robber that I've been talking about is prayer. Some of you don't have children, but you still have the heart of a mother. And you see somebody, maybe a teenager, that has a real tough time coping, and you just put them under your wing and you teach them about life. It's awesome. The third person or people that I want to talk about is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As Alexander Scorby would say, Lois and Eunice, but I'll go with Eunice. Lois and Eunice. And I think the robber I want to bring out here is the fatherless. The fatherless. Where's Timothy's father at? I don't know. Maybe he was an unbeliever. I don't know that. But I do know this. There is millions of homes in America that have been robbed of a mother's beauty because it's fatherless. And there may be even people in this room that the father is absent. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, emotionally, is not there for their child. And that's a beauty robber, trust me. Because when you talk about a one-parent family, a one-woman thing, oh, yes, women can raise a child. Remember, we're talking about Mother Nature, mother of all headaches here. A mom is strong. I've seen some amazing mothers that didn't have a husband. Amazing. But it's a beauty robber because it adds a lot of stress. Not only do you have to think about the welfare of your child, you got to provide physically, monetarily, financially for that person as well. But it's a beauty robber because that creates stress. There's no window of time there anymore to get anything done. James talked about that alone with your thoughts thing. Single mothers don't have that. Ever. So I don't know where Timothy's father was here, but I do know that fatherlessness is a beauty robber. But I want to read some amazing verses here in 2 Timothy. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God, ladies, I want you to listen to this verse. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, that Mother Nature thing, of love, and of a sound mind. I don't know, as a man, I can claim that verse because he's speaking directly to Eunice and Lois about Timothy. I can, but women, this is your verse. It's an awesome verse. There's three things here that Lois and Eunice did for Timothy. Number one, they were faith developers. It says here, I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Where did he get that? He got it from Lois and Eunice. Mother, grandmother. Grandmas, you play an important role in your grandchildren's lives. Without all the dirty diapers. Take advantage of it. It's an awesome thing, I think. I'm not quite there yet. Again, not an expert on the subject. For my mom, she was my faith developer. I still remember the evening when I was 8, struggling with school or something at school. And I went out. It was a Monday night. And I know it was a Monday night because Dad wasn't there. That means he was at a fire meeting. But Mom was still there. And it was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I don't understand why fire meetings go to 11 o'clock, but they always did. But Mom was there. Guess what she was doing? Sewing in a little sewing room. And she sat down and she listened to me. And she led me to Christ that night. Still remember it. She allowed her beauty of Christ to flow through her into me. What about Moses? Did you ever think about Moses? What a great leader he was. You know, Moses shouldn't be alive. Why was Moses alive? Because his mother Jochebed was creative, prayed a lot, and put him in a little basket to float down the river. Not unlike you ladies. It's just now we work with cribs and car seats. But you still pray for that person. You still pray that they'll turn out to be the person God created them to be. A mother is incredibly powerful. Another thing it talks about in this thing is to fan the flame. Lois and Eunice fanned the flame in Timothy to be the next person that changes the world. Timothy, what a leader he was. I read a story about Elizabeth Newton. That's John Newton's mother. A slave trader, evil, turned his back completely against his mother. But the story said that every day she would get on her knees and pray for her son John. Not 1 year, not 2 years, but 14 years. She prayed for his salvation. And one day, in a storm at sea, John Newton cried out to God because there was no other way out of the mess he was in. Was it God? Yes, it was. But it was also his mother's prayers that were heard after 14 years. Do you know who Mary Ball is? Come on, you history buffs. That's George Washington's mom. Mary Ball was her maiden name. She pleaded with George not to go to military academy. Pleaded with him. But he did. But the story says that when he was at I think it was West Point. He, before his mother left, he said something to the effect that, "Mom, you've given me the abilities to do this." And with a resigned matter-of-factness, she bows one more time and prays for her son. And George said, "That prayer affected my life for the rest of my time here on this earth." She prayed specifically that George would use his talents, abilities for God. And as we know, George Washington became the first president of the United States, the president of a free country. I want to close with this. A woman has the incredible gift of beauty to offer to those around her. This beauty, girls, ladies, you don't have to be modest with. You can give it lavishly. I know, ladies, there's beauty robbers nipping at your heels all the time on a regular basis. But know this, the world around you, or your little world, needs your beauty. Your beauty overwhelms us. It enchants us. It fascinates us and calls us. No matter what stage of life you're in, the world around you needs to be enticed. It needs to be allured. It needs to be captivated. It needs to be invited to Christ by reflecting His glory in your life. Thanks, ladies, for all you do for us. Lord, thank you today for the gift that you gave of women. And I thank you for instilling in them a mother heart that is incredible. Lord, words can't express my gratitude for my mother and the time and the prayers and the effort that she's put into me. And Lord, as we think about each mother heart, Lord, I pray that you would protect us from the beauty robbers that surround us on a daily basis. But I pray that you would allow the beauty of a woman to flow to the world around us, to be the fanners of the flame, to be the changers of the world. I pray this in your name. Amen.